In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight, this is our fourth message, I believe, in this chapter. And we're reading from verses 12 and verse 13. Last week, we preached Not Appointed Under Wrath. And verses 12 through 28 are some general exhortations. As the letter comes to an end, these two verses are dealing with responsibility regarding the shepherd and the sheep. He says in verse 12, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Heavenly Father, we ask again tonight for Thy blessings to be upon the reading of Thy Holy Scripture. And Lord, we just pray that You'll guide and lead us, and Lord, teach us this evening. For it's in Christ Jesus' name, amen. The section here with just some general exhortation that brings this letter to a close starts with a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And I can honestly speak on this tonight in saying that we have harmony and there's no problem. So I normally have a tendency to want to shy away from passages like this sometimes over the years. Doesn't bother me anymore to just go ahead and speak on them, and because they are a part of Holy Scripture. The Apostle Paul in this letter has already in chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, spoken of his love for them as a nursing mother and as a loving father. Chapter 3, he speaks of his concern and love for them as well. And as we come here this evening, in the closing parts of this letter, he says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." First of all, notice that he says in this passage, in verse 12, "And we beseech you, brethren," speaking to them as brothers and sisters, those who love the Lord, those who are part of the same family. And he says here, uses the word beseech, beseech you. That has the ideal of to encourage or to exhort. We find the word exhort in verse 14 that we'll be in next week. We'll just be covering one verse next week. It has the ideal to entreat or to ask or to pray with urgency. In other words, to implore them. He's trying to encourage them. He said, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." To know them. To respect them and regard them as spiritual leaders. And the title of our message is Esteeming Spiritual Leaders. Esteeming Spiritual Leaders. To know them has the ideal of recognizing them, to appreciate them, to value them and acknowledge them. And he says here in verse 12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." And I'm going to stop here and just focus in on this word labor, labor among you. The ministry is referred to as a work. Hold on here and notice with me as we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to just go through a few verses to talk about this. Notice as we come to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I have a letter laying here that Sister Joanna had written in 2015 and thought she had mailed it to me. And she found it. And so she asked me this morning, and so she brought it tonight, and I will keep it because it's one of the number of notes and letters that I have gotten from her just thanking me. She said, "What a blessing and privilege it is to have been to have you as a pastor for the last 13 years. May will be 22 years that she's been, will be in the church." And so, these are the kind of letters I like to save and hang on. There are some that I discard. I file them in the trash can, not from this congregation, but in the past that I've gotten letters. But so this fits in with what we're looking at here tonight. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the ministry is referred to as a work. I was in construction work. I've done factory work. I was raised doing farm work. I've done hospital work. I worked in the military, aboard a flight deck for 3 years and 8 months. And I've done lots of different types of work. And the ministry is a work. And it is as hard a work in a different way as when I was in construction work, putting in many hours a day. Someone said to me a few years back, "I wished I had your job. I'd only have to work one day a week." I'd love for people like that to spend a week with me and just stay with me and do what I do and get up when I get up. But they would not say that again. But here we find that in chapter 3 and verse 1, I'm going to read just a few verses from this chapter, not only because that it mentions the ministry being a work, but it also has a couple of other things in here that we will be referring to in a moment. But he said in verse 1, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." It is a work. We find that many times of laboring in the harvest and working. But also, let me read just a few of the verses because we're going to come to the fact of overseers in just a moment. So he says in verse 4, speaking of the bishop, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And so we find here it is a work, and he has a ministry of ruling. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5, speaking of this work. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, again speaking of elders. I guess we've been on elders and old people all day today in this service. But he says in verse 17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." Now he speaks in Thessalonians, we'll be going back in a moment, "esteem them very highly." Well, here we find the word honor. He says, reading verse 17 again, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor," there's that word, "who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." So the ministry again is referred to as working, as laboring. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. And you'll find this again, I'm not going to turn to all of these, you'll find this again in 1 Corinthians 15:10, and also 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 9. The Apostle Paul speaking of the apostles, the preachers, the ministers as working and laboring. In Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians 4, let me read in verse 8. He said, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." Now the gifts here are the men that are mentioned in verse 11. These are gifts given to the church. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." These are gifts given to the church. But notice in verse 12, we're talking about the word laboring or working. Here's why they're given in verse 12. He said, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Notice they're given for perfecting and work, the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. Go back with me now to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading in verse 12 again. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them," that is, again, to recognize them, to appreciate them, to know them which labor among you. Notice now, "and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Let's talk about these two phrases. First of all, "over you in the Lord." Hold on here. And notice with me in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. We just seen in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, about ruling one's family and also ruling or taking care of the church. So what do we say? What are we saying here when we talk about those that are over you in the Lord? We're talking about bishops. It can be an overseer, an elder, a pastor, a minister. All of these words are used. And the three major words is bishop, an elder, and a pastor. Now, they're all talking about the same person, but they have just a little bit different thought. A bishop is an overseer. An elder is one who can obviously be up in the years, but also speaking of spiritually maturity. And the Bible speaks about not putting a novice, ordaining a novice and putting them into the ministry. And so the word elder carries the thought, you don't want someone too young pastoring a church, and also he needs to be an elder in the sense of being a spiritual, mature leader. Then the word pastor has the idea of feeding the flock and caring for the flock. So all three of these are the same person, but they're just three different words to describe different aspects of the position. You'll notice with me that as we come here to Hebrews 13, I think we read this a few weeks ago when we preached on the three divine institutions in the Bible. I either read it or I referred to it. But notice here, he says, verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Then in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Now, this is part of the labor and the work. "For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And then he says in verse 18, "Pray for us." He's talking about himself. And I personally believe Paul wrote this letter as well. But he's saying, "Pray for us, the apostles. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." And then again, verse 24, "Salute them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen." The word "salute" here has the ideal of respect and honor and esteem. Turn with me to the book of Acts and notice with me in Acts chapter 20. In the book of Acts in chapter 20. Now there's other passages, and I'm going to turn to a few of them and just give you some of them probably. Notice in Acts chapter 20, talking about leaders, elders, pastors, bishops, those who are over you in the Lord, the overseers. The Apostle Paul met with the elders of the church of Ephesus at Miletus in verse 17. He called the elders of the church. They met with him. Here's what he says in verse 28. In verse 28, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," that is the elders of verse 17, "and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Now, the word bishop is used in 1 Timothy 3:1, where we just read it. The word bishop is used again in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. It speaks of bishops and deacons. So we find here, when we're talking about those that are over you in the Lord, we're talking about overseers. So he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed, now that's the aspect of a pastor, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, verse 29, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock, verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them, verse 31. Therefore watch, in other words, be like a watchman on the wall, as in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul was an overseer. He warned, he preached, he encouraged, he admonished, and the saints of God. And he's telling these elders that this is their responsibility. The ones that the Holy Ghost has put them over, the assembly, he's saying, you're to feed them, watch over them, protect them from false doctrine and grievous wolves. Turn to me, please, to while you got the book of Acts, notice with me in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Now, I know I made reference to these when we were talking about the local assembly last week. But notice in verse 23, I'm just going to cut into the text. In verse 23, and he says in verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And Titus 1:7 says, ordaining elders in every city. And so in every city and every church, the apostles were concerned about ordained ministers, overseers, bishops and pastors and elders to be in those assemblies. And we would find the word elder again here in chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, mentioned twice in reference to the apostles. But notice now in 1 Peter chapter 5, in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm reading from verses 1 through 5. This is Peter closing this letter. And notice he said in verse 1, he said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Here's what he said to the elders. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight. There's the ideal of a bishop or overseer. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords, that's like being masters over God's heritage, God's people, but being in samples to the flock. And then he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So if the elders, the bishop, the pastor, the overseers, the minister, the preacher, whatever we call, if they will do their job, God has promised to them a crown when He comes back. And He says also in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And so we see this word is not an isolated thing, but it's used many, many times in the Holy Scripture. And again, we at least made reference to these, maybe read a few of these when we preached on the three divine institutions last week. One other time here, notice in James chapter 5, in James chapter 5, he says in verse 14, I'm just going to read the one verse, and just trying to illustrate and bring home, you'd be amazed at the people in our world that thinks it's wrong to have elders and bishops and ministers. He says here in verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So clearly, and there's many other verses, many more in Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. And again, I mentioned to you in Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through about 9 or 10. So the overseer, the bishop, is set in the church by God Himself. And as we come back here to verse 12 in 1 Thessalonians 5, there's another word here. He said, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." So the word admonish means to instruct, to advise. It has the idea of teaching and training, warning, reproof. You can write down Acts 20, verse 31. We were just in that chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul is telling Timothy as a young preacher his duties and responsibilities. Then the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1:28, he says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." This is the job of the minister, is perfecting the saints, as in Ephesians 4:12. And that word perfecting has the ideal of mending and repairing. It's used, the Greek word is used in reference of the disciples in Matthew 4 of repairing their nets when Jesus came. Nets that would have holes and whatever in them, repairing them. And that word perfecting comes from the same Greek word. So that's what we do with one another in when we come and teaching the Word of God. You've heard me tell this story when I first moved down here, being fascinated with the fishing industry and everything else. I borrowed a cast net and I was going to catch mullet, and I did catch mullet, but it had a couple of big holes in it. And so I lost more than what I caught, and I had Brother Avery to have me one made, and I bought that, and I think I still have it somewhere, but it's probably not good now. But it was mended, it was new, and it was well put together and never lost any more mullet. Well, notice now as we come to verse 13. In verse 13, he says in this passage, he said, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Now, to esteem them very highly. We had a couple come to this church about 5, 6, 7 years ago. One of the first things they told me, they said, "We don't believe in pastor worship." And I said, "You don't have to worry about that in our circles. I don't have one pastor friend that is worshiped." Now, you may get in some of these mega churches and some of these mega ministries. I said, I have pastor friends. I said, they have people that respect them and love them and will give them the honor and praise that they deserve. But I said, I know of no pastor that's a friend of mine that is worshiped by the congregation. And I knew where they were coming from. I knew what they meant when they said that. They meant that we're not going to give the respect and honor to a pastor that he deserves. That's what they meant. And many do not give that honor. They do not esteem their pastor. And many do. And some have more respect for presidents and politicians and governors and mayors and so forth than they do their own pastor. But notice he uses some words here that I went back and looked at some old commentaries, you know, 200 and 300 and 400 years ago. And it says, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." That is the office, the position that they hold. And then he says, "And be at peace among yourselves." And so basically when he says here, and I'll give you a few other verses you can write down. We'll not have you to turn to them. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, He said, "And he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So to receive the message that is from the Word of God, if it's correct, to receive that is to receive the Lord. And basically, when somebody rejects the messenger, they're rejecting the Master. And another passage is in Galatians chapter 4. You can jot this down. The Apostle Paul, when he first went to Galatia, they loved him. And they lifted him up in high esteem. And I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read from verses 14 through about verse 16. I want you to listen to what he says. He says, "And my temptation which was in my flesh you despise not." If you'd have seen the Apostle Paul after he'd been beat on half of his life, he probably didn't have the appearance that we imagine in our mind. He didn't look like some of the American evangelists, let me just put it like that. But he says, "And my temptation which was in my flesh you despise not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then that blessedness you spake of?" See, they praised him at one time. He said, "For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me," indicating that he had very poor eyesight. And then he said in verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And then he starts talking about the false prophets. And so he says this, "One time you honored me and you praised me for my office and for my work and for my position." And he says, "Now I have become the enemy because I tell you the truth." And one other passage is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We find that in verse 1, Paul speaking of himself and the other apostles, he said, "Let a man so count of us," again he's speaking of himself and Apollos and Cephas, especially in this context in chapter 3, verse 22. He said, "Let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So when we come back here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, "And to esteem them which very highly and love for their work's sake." Let me give you another passage that just came to mind, if I can find it. Philippians 2. I want you to listen to this. In verse 29, the Apostle Paul is speaking of a minister. And he says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation." The same word is translated dear in the book of Luke, and also translated precious. And this man's name is in verse 25, Epaphroditus, and he had been sick nigh to death, but he was sick because of the ministry and his work and his love for the people at Philippi. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation." In other words, hold him as dear and precious to you for Christ's sake. Now, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's come back to verse 13 again. You know, the Apostle Paul had to defend his apostleship more than once. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1 begins, and throughout that chapter, he's having to defend his apostleship. He's been questioned because of the false prophets, those who lied on him. And he's having to defend his apostleship. He should have never had to done that at the church at Corinth or anywhere else. But he wouldn't even take money from the church at Corinth. He took money from the Macedonians. He took money from the church at Philippi to help in the ministry, but he did not take money for himself, at least at that time at the church of Corinth, because he was having to defend his apostleship there, and he was even talking about, he used the fact of the Old Testament priesthood. I made mention of this to you recently, and how that they lived of the things of the temple. And Paul is saying, I have the authority and the power to do this, but I didn't do it. I worked with my own hands because they were doubting his apostleship. They were listening to the false prophets. Now notice as we come back to this word, or this phrase, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Here's what some other commentators says, and some of these are older. One says, the Thessalonians, their love was to be joined with esteem. Another says to give them double honor, as in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Another writer says, to honor superabundantly. In other words, he says more than abundantly. Go up and beyond abundantly. Another writer says, to hold in an extraordinary degree of love. Another one, highly thought of. The minister to be highly thought of, well spoken of, and treat with respect. Another one says, to cherish as a gift from God, as we just read a moment ago in Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Now, let's read this. And notice he said, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But notice the last statement that is mentioned here. He said, and be at peace among yourselves. Let there be peace in the assembly. We have peace. But let there be peace in the assembly between the shepherd and the sheep, between one another, and that's what he's getting to here in this passage. And the church at Thessalonica had this peace. And still yet the apostle gave them warning. He told them, he spoke of their holiness and their righteousness, their love for one another, but he said, let's don't stop here. Let's improve upon that and maintain that, because he was afraid that it would be lost. Now, they did have some that were unruly in the church, evidently, because we'll be reading that next week. So church unity, church harmony is very important. And as we read through the book of Corinthians, like beginning in chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we find that disunity comes from carnality. Anytime there's carnality in a church, there's going to be some disunity. And so we are called unto harmony. 2 Corinthians 13:11, live in peace. There's much more in that verse, but live in peace. For Psalms 131 verse 1, we'll be singing that in 2 weeks on a Sunday night. It is essential for growth and blessings. The peace of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. It is one of the Beatitudes with a promise connected with it, the peace of God. Colossians 3:15, we are called unto peace. Galatians 5:22, it is a result of walking in the Holy Spirit, peace. James 3 verse 13 through 18, it is from heaven. Confusion is from hell. Schisms and divisions is from hell. Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12 that God had put him into the ministry. John 1, verses 6 through 8, John the Baptist, the Bible says he was a man that was sent from God, ordained in heaven, sent from God to bear witness of the truth. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 4, in the church at Antioch, they prayed, they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, and the Holy Ghost sent them out. And it says that Paul and Barnabas, they were separated and sent forth for the work that they were called to do. They were sent into the work and to labor in the field for souls. In one other passage, Revelation chapter 1, verses 11 through 20, Christ is in the midst of seven churches. Recall, he's in the midst of the seven churches, beginning with Ephesus, going through Laodicea, and they're called candlesticks. And in his right hand were seven stars. And those seven stars, I'm leaning more and more, as I did a series in 2018, I believe it was, or 19, that those are probably pastors of the church. The word, the star has the idea of a messenger. And sent ones, they do refer to angelic beings, but I lean more and more that those are actually the pastors of the church when you look at the context. So let's read these two verses one more time and close. He said in verse 12, and we're going to pick up and we're going to spend all of our time in verse 14 next week. And he says here in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Will you stand with me? Father, we thank Thee this day for the privilege You've given us to come together and sing the songs of Zion, to pray together and fellowship with one another, and to spend time in Your Word. Lord, I pray that the words that were spoken this day, if they're true and right, Lord, that You just burn them in our hearts and minds. Lord, if anything's wrong, let it be forgotten. But Lord, I pray now Your blessings upon the remaining of this service, again upon the prayer requests, the hymns, and the closing prayer. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.